in Galatians. Galatians 5. We're going to flip to Galatians 5. 13 through 26 is where we're going to be sharing from. Very, very powerful. Tough piece of scripture there. Really steps on my toes a lot of times. Every time I read it, and if you look in my Bible, that piece of passage has got all kind of notes and all kinds of highlights in it, you know. So I this passage has all been near and dear to my heart, and it's always challenged me to keep growing as a Christian. And the kind of title, the heading I gave Miss Deb was, what kind of fruit is on your tree? What kind of fruit is on your tree? Or another one could be, what kind of fruit are you producing? Amen. And we're all producing some kind of fruit or another. Amen. So this week, as I looked at my lesson this week, as I started looking through it, is on 21, lesson 21. And the lesson title is Relapse. Now, when we think of the word relapse, what do we think about? Alcohol and drugs, automatically, right? That's just a relapse. So I started thinking about that word a little bit. I said, most people just shut you down, especially if they're not struggling with alcohol or drugs. They'll just kind of put that off the side and say, this mess is not for me. And as I started thinking about that, on Friday nights, we deal with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Amen. We don't just deal. Think to Jesus. I always tell people, thank Jesus, I did not stop when I got clean and sober. Amen. Thank the Lord, I kept growing in my recovery, and I kept looking at why. Why was I an alcoholic and a drug addict for so many years? Because I'm a very insecure person, a very codependent person. And when I would drink, it would make me not care what people thought. You know, I was the type of person, I could stay by myself. When I think of myself as a child, I would play Fantasyland and play by myself a lot. I could stay by myself. I loved by myself because nobody could hurt me when I was by myself. Amen. So alcohol and drugs were the things that got me out of the shell to become the life of the party, to go out in the community. Now, thank Jesus that Jesus gave me the same courage and the boldness to do that. Amen. And the thing about when you've got Jesus and you're doing that, you don't have a hangover in the morning. Amen. And the other key part about Celebrate Recovery is we don't just say a higher power. I love AA and NA, great, I've always, great groups. I'm always excited that somebody's trying to help people in our community. But I had hurts, habits, and things. I had more than just alcohol and drugs killing me, destroying my life. And then I knew one thing. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our problems. Amen? Amen. You know, anything that we're dealing with, Jesus Christ. I'll never make a good counselor because I got the same answer for every question. Jesus Christ in one form or another. Amen? It's always the same. Amen? And most of the times we deal with the habits and the hang-ups that we're dealing with are from the hurts. Usually from growing up, amen. And a lot of us, even me, numb them problems. They cover those problems. We don't want to go back to that childhood and develop that little boy that was picked on or made fun of. We isolate. When a guy told me one day in a group, he said, "JR, I can tell by talking to you." He said, "I can tell you're codependent and you're insecure." I said, "You say that one more time, buddy, I'll bust you in the nose." I said, "You know, I'm not the insecure. I convinced myself that nothing bothered me." Amen. I didn't harden my heart up that much in my life that nothing bothered me. But a lot of times we have to look back into the past of our life. Start back deep. If you want to go deeper in your recovery, I always tell people there's two things. There's sobriety. Sobriety is just stop doing whatever it is you're doing. And recovery is actually getting in and cutting out the infection that why you went down that road. Because, you know, a lot of times I feel like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dam. You're always just moving the finger around trying to keep. You got your toe up here. You're always trying to fill that hole. But if you get in there and cut that, find out why you started going off, that's when you find recovery. That's when the Lord can use a Christian not just to be good for dying, but they actually can use them to help somebody else, right, in their life. Amen. So if you think back as a child, some of us might have had an abusive father or abusive mother. We might have come from a divorce or a broken home. We might have been molested or been raped. Alcohol, drugs are a big thing that destroys a lot of families. Maybe you had a parent. A lot of people think this. We have a society that wants their kids to be their friends instead of their parents. Amen? And I'm going to promise you, a kid, he might be bucking the system. But they want rules. They want protection. Amen. When you just let them run wild, I remember as a little boy, you know, a teenager in school and middle school, I always said, man, all my friends, they got to go out and run the roads and play. I had to go home and clean stalls and work around the farm. And I used to envy them. But years later, after I got clean, sober, and saved and started looking at their lives, so many of them either dead or in prison or never did nothing with their life. So in a day that I don't go by that, I thank the Lord my parents made me get up and work. Amen. They tried their hardest to protect me and to do things in my life. So disciplines, and my dad would give me a good old-fashioned butt-whipping when I need it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what we deserve. Amen. So discipline. So you may have maybe had these things in your life, and you done moved on with life, and you don't even think about them things. They're so far back in our lives. These are a lot of the things that lots of us have never dealt with, or we have dealt with growing up. And they molded us into the people that we are today. Amen. So let's take the word relapse. Let's take that word and kind of put it to the side. Let's think of the word, let's inject the word backsliding. Has anybody ever backslided? How about, has anybody backslided this morning? Amen. Let's get a little deeper. Backsliding, also known as falling away or committing apostasy. It is a term used within Christianity to describe a process by which an individual who has converted to Christianity reverts to pre-conversion habits or lapse or falls into sin when the person turns from God to pursue his or her own desire. Amen. So let's use that word. That your word's a lot better because it hits a lot more of us. Amen. It hits me. Steps on my toes when I think of backsliding. And then in the principle for Friday's night lesson, look at the principle. Principle 7 says this. It says, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination. Amen. We like to examine everybody else and pick out everybody else's flaws. That's so much easier. But changing ourselves, that's where real change happens. It's always in ourselves. For self-examination, for Bible reading, for prayer, in order to know God and His will for my life, and to gain the power to follow His will. And it comes from step 11, from the 12 steps of recovery. Step 11 says this, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for His knowledge and His will for us, and the power. You need that power. That power only comes from Jesus. True change always starts with inside. Amen. We can clean ourselves up, but true change always starts in the heart through the power of Jesus Christ. And the verse that goes along with that lesson there, with that step, I mean, is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. My wife shared this with me earlier this morning. We were talking. She shared this. Sins against the body are especially offensive to God. Because the body is a temple of God. Amen. When we abuse our body, it's very offensive to God. And whatever the abuse is. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about our flesh and our spirit and how they're at war with each other. Amen. We give the devil way too much credit, saying the devil made me do it. The devil made me do that. The devil don't even know your name. Amen. Let me talk to you now. Amen. Our flesh is our biggest enemy. Amen. My flesh wants to destroy itself. Amen. My flesh wants to watch things it shouldn't watch. My flesh wants to eat things that it shouldn't eat. My flesh wants to do things that it shouldn't do. It wants to wear things, clothes that we shouldn't wear. It wants us to go places where the Bible says we shouldn't go. It wants us to say things that we shouldn't say. Amen. The Bible tells us abundance of the heart will come the mouth. Amen. So the question is, what are we putting into our lives? In the lesson there, it says evaluate. Your evaluation needs to include your physical. This is one of the questions on for Friday night. I'm going to just share this before we get into our message. One of the things it says, your evaluation needs to include your physical, your emotional, your relational, and your spiritual health. You should need to check yourself. And don't forget to value of doing a heart check in your life. Take the word heart if you're going to take notes today. Take the word heart. H-E-A-R-T. Take that word. Stack it on top of each other, each letter. And the H, put right beside the H. Hurting. Right beside the letter E, put on right beside that, put exhausted. Exhausted. Beside the letter A, put angry. Angry. Beside the letter R, put resentful. Resentful. Beside the letter T, put tense. You know, tense. Yes, ma'am, tense. You know, when you're hurting, hurt people will hurt people. Amen. If you have a dog, I heard about a little cat here, but you heard about, you had a dog. A lot of us have dogs, and a lot of times we treat that dog like a person. That dog comes with us, it rides in our vehicle, sometimes it even comes in the house, different things. We spend a lot of time. That dog walked out there on that road, and somebody was not paying attention, ran over that dog. Didn't kill the dog, just ran over and hurt it very badly. If we ran over and put our arms around that dog to pick that dog up, more than likely it will snap at us because it's hurt. Amen. And remember, hurt people will hurt people. Amen. When you're hurting, all you want to do is hurt somebody else. Amen. It's so amazing. So I always ask myself, when I start saying something that's irrational, or I start getting a little offensive, am I hurting? Is that why I'm getting a little bit excited here? Amen. So always evaluate yourself. Are you exhausted? Just like I said with the driving the truck. I noticed driving the truck. Driving, hauling cattle and horses ain't like hauling freight or logs or something. You don't go 10 hours and you stop. A lot of times we'll go 18 hours. Pushing it. We'll go till we get to the next destination because you need to get those animals off the truck. Amen. If he's going to be a state trooper, you need to put your fingers in your ears. one of my elders at New Life with me, super guy named Daryl, he's a DOT sergeant. Amen. So when I share my examples, a lot of times I pray I don't see him the next week. Amen. Are you exhausted? A lot of times when I'm exhausted, my thought process ain't the way it should be. Amen? You're not thinking rationally if you're exhausted in your life. If you're angry, a lot of times we'll say and do things when we're angry. When I get angry, you know, I'll say something. Then as soon as I say it, I'm like, man, I can't believe I said that. Amen? And I don't care how many times you say, I'm sorry, I wish I could take it back. That wound is still under there. Amen? I shared that example last week with my son. Amen? Are you angry? Are you resentful about something? Is somebody doing something to you that you know it doesn't line up, but you just go along with it because you don't want to cause no waves? Amen. You don't have the courage and boldness to do the Matthew 18 to go back to confront that people. You get infection, a resentment inside of you starts boiling. Amen. Are you tense? You know, it's amazing. Our church is right directly across from a chiropractor. Before Jesus Christ, I would go to that chiropractor about 8 or 9 times a year. Amen. And because it's just the tense, the stress of the sin in my life. Amen. It was always in my shoulders, in my lower back. It would always be tight and tense. And that's what happens from sin. It would destroy your life. You let it, it would eat you. That tense and tenseness in there. And I've praised Jesus in the last 13 years after a relationship with Christ. I guarantee I hadn't been there 8 times. Amen. And that's all to do to Jesus. I ain't doing nothing different. Still picking up stuff that's too heavy. Still doing a lot of stuff that I shouldn't be doing. But I don't have the tense. I don't have the stresses that comes with a rough lifestyle. Amen. So Galatians. Let's look in our lesson. Galatians 5. Let's look at the Bible. Because what I'm sharing with you is great stuff. It's awesome stuff. It comes from God and stuff. But this is what changes lives. The Word of God. Amen. Always back up whatever you share with the Word of God. That's the GPS to life. So Galatians 5:13 says this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. So when right here he's talking, he says you're called to be free. And he's saying brothers and sisters, he's talking to fellow Christians. Amen. You know, so many times we try to have people change before they meet Christ. Amen. We try to help them clean up their... I always tell them, just keep on drinking and using. Keep on going down that wrong road. That wrong road, most people don't change because they see the light. Most people change because they feel the heat. Amen. If they get saved, so many of those things fell out of my life when I got saved. But so many years, when I would go on a drug binge or I'd go out and do things I shouldn't do, I would come home and see my little girls coming up, they would say, Daddy, where you been? What you been doing? And it would rip my heart out. And I'd say, man, I'm never doing that again. But until Jesus came into my life, I never could fulfill that promise to them. Amen. Hundreds of times, I would be so shamed. And so I said, man, I'm never doing that again. I meant it with everything I had. But until Jesus came in and gave me the power to fight off those temptations, to surrender my life to him, then I quit going to those places. Amen. So he's talking. So the first thing we need to do is somebody's got to get saved first. They need to give their heart to Christ. If they want to quit doing the things their flesh wants them to do. Amen. Because your flesh wants to kill you. But he's talking to people. He's talking to his brothers and sisters in Christ right here. So this passage is mainly for brothers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Everybody has a thing called free will. Amen. Even after we're Christians, we have a thing called free will. We can still do what's wrong. Amen. And Paul is, his main concern through this book here is his main concern is how will you use your freedom? Will you use your freedom to feed your flesh or your spirit? Amen. Rather, serve one another. Serving one another, that comes from Christ. Amen. When you start serving other people, when you start wanting to think about other people before yourself, you know Christ is involved. Amen. Because the Bible's adamant, it says it's more blessed to give than receive. Before Christ, it was all about me. When I was nice to somebody, I was nice to them for a reason. Amen. When I did business with them, if they quit doing business or they wouldn't let me take advantage of them business related, I just did business with somebody else. It wasn't true friendship until Jesus Christ came into the mix. Amen. True friendship loves us through the good, the bad, and ugly times of life. They're still our friends. When we're down on the ground, they don't sit down and kick us. They help us back up. Amen. They still love us. Even if we don't see eyeball to eyeball. And I'm going to tell you something. I was telling Kaz this last week there. I said, that's a true friendship with me and Kaz had. Because if I ran into Kaz on the street, I'd probably look the other way. I said, man, that's a crazy guy there, man. I'd just keep on walking. But we would sit in class, and so many times we'd buck heads, right? But we both, the glue that holds our relationship together is Jesus Christ. He is a true friend and true brother in Christ. And I know Jesus Christ placed him in my life because of that. Amen. That's a true friend, by the way. That's just not a friend. That's my buddy because we both got trucks, or my buddy because we both, you know, wear the cowboy boots. That's a true friend in Christ. Amen. And that's what you want. Your relationships, you want the glue to hold that relationship, whether it's a marriage, a friendship, you want that glue to be Jesus Christ. Amen. I know he'll be there for me through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's what true friends are all about. Amen. So Paul's main concern here is how are you going to spend your freedom? How are you going to live your new life? Verse 14. It says, I'm sorry, let's finish that verse. It says, love one another humbly in love. Verse 14. For the entire law fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love someone? How do you love someone? You got to get to know them. Amen. We got to get to know them. We're in society. I was having a difficult talk with my son. You know, you don't want to talk to your 13-year-old son about sex and things like that. But I was talking with him yesterday and trying to explain to him about how beautiful marriage is, how beautiful sex is if it's in the context of marriage. One man, one woman together. Amen. And trying to explain to him to save yourself for your wife. That's one of the biggest regrets in my life. I wish I was saved younger. How much better my life would be, how much better my wife's life would be, how much better my kids' life would be if I'd have, I ain't gonna cry over spilt milk. I can't go backwards. Thank you, Jesus, that on January the 15th of 06, I fell on my knees, asked Jesus into my life. But that's one of the biggest regrets is what I was telling him. I said, son, I said, man, it's so beautiful. The counselor that counseled me, a guy named Roger Bevins, he's the founder of the church where my brother's a pastor. He had never been with a woman. He was my first mentor and counselor. I met with him over a year. And he had never been with another woman except his wife. It was just him and his wife. And I heard she was the same way, never been with another man. And I said, man, how's this guy going to teach me something? You know, he ain't going to teach me. No, he's wet behind the ears. How's he going to teach me? Right? But as I growed as a Christian, I started envying that man and saying how much beautiful his life is with his wife. And to see the intimacy Okay. None of all the mind games, none of all the filth. He didn't put all that corruption in his life like I did for so many years. How much more beautiful their marriage and how much more bonded it would be. Now, Christ can fix all the messes, right? But like I said, there's always consequences to sin. Amen? God will forgive it. When you lay that repent and lay it on the cross, on the altar, you say, hey, Lord, take it. He'll take it. But there always is consequences to our sins. We don't get a free pass. Amen? We always have consequences to the way we've lived our life. Amen? And that takes many years to rebuild that brokenness. I mean, I think I shared with you last week, it took my family 5 or 6 years before they truly trusted me. When I said, hey, I'm going to the store, or I'm going here, I'm going, they didn't cross their mind. I wonder if Dad's really going there. I wonder if my husband's really going where he said he's going. Because how many hundreds of times did I say I was going somewhere? I went totally opposite direction. Amen. It takes a long time to rebuild when you break and burn those bridges. It takes you a long time to rebuild that in your life. Amen. To love to someone, to love your neighbor. You need courtship. Spend time with people. Remember, people always put on their best behavior when you first meet them. That's in friendships. That's in relationships. Everybody always puts on their best clothes when they first meet you, right? And only time will tell you how they really are. You know, one thing that you said, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. You always got to spend time with that person. Let them know how valuable they are. Amen. There's going to be time to share the gospel, but they got to know that you care about what they're going through. Amen. Don't just come in beating them up with the Bible. Build a relationship. Jesus always built a relationship. Then he told them the truth. Amen. He built that relationship. He let them know, you know, if they were hungry, he fed them. If they were lame, he helped them. You know, he always built that relationship. Then he shared the gospel with them. Amen. Not everybody he helped turned to him. Some people will turn away, but always build that bridge. Always let people know that you're valuable. Amen. I love you. You know, I don't want nothing from you. I just want to be your friend. Spend time with people. How do you get to know someone? It's very simple. T-I-M-E, time. There was a guy last week, he's an auctioneer, very successful guy down at the Cowboy Church. And he called me a couple times. He played phone tag, he'd call me. And then I'd call him. And I could tell this guy, you know, I said, man, I don't really feel like talking to this guy. First few times I met him, he's a very arrogant type guy. You know, he's very successful. He's an auctioneer. He auctioneers all over that country there. And very successful. He always talks about all he has and this and that. I'm like, man. But he got to talking to me. I called him the other night on the way home, and I was tired. I really didn't feel like talking to him, but I said, this guy keeps calling for a reason. And so I called him back, and I was talking to him, and the guy's almost in tears. I showed him that video at Cowboy Church, the same video I showed last week of the man picking between his son or the train full of people. And here's a hardened guy, done a lot of rough things. He said, I've watched that video 20 times. And every time I do, it breaks me down in tears. And I guarantee that guy hadn't cried in many years. Amen. But it's amazing to see what Jesus is doing. I spent an hour talking with him on the phone. I didn't do much talking. Most of I did was listening. He was just sharing, just trying to get some of that cancer out of his life. He was just exposing all kinds of things in his life. And I sat there and then I prayed with him. But thank the Lord I took time. Time is what shows people they're valuable. Amen. And even though I didn't really feel like talking that day, something, I know it was the Lord. He was pricking my heart. He said, that guy needs to talk to you. As soon as he got on the phone, he just started unloading all the baggage he had been carrying for many years. Amen. He got freed up there. And then I prayed with him. Amen. And when somebody asks you to pray for him, don't say, I'll pray for you. Because what will happen when you ask me to pray for you, I won't think about that prayer until I see you coming at me. And then I'll stop and pray. Let me pray real quick in case they ask me, did I pray for them? Amen. I always try to stop and pray for somebody right then because their prayer is precious. Amen. Take a minute. It don't matter where you're at. So let's pray right now. Amen. You know, let's read a little bit more here. Verse 15. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Amen. What he's saying here, just a minute ago, he's talking about love your neighbor. Then he says, if you bite and devour each other, right? They're both in the same, these are brothers and sisters in Christ talking. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. They're kind of bickering. A lot of times we get to bickering amongst each other just over things that have no eternal value, right? We get to arguing about things. You know, so many times you see so many denominations around, and so many times they got the difference. And it wasn't because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's usually over other things. Amen? We have a society that we spend so much time, we're spiritual gluttons. We spend so much time battling each other over the Word of God. Amen? If I just use 25% of the Word of God that I already have in me, if I just apply 25% of it a day, my life would radically be changed. Amen? But we want to go, feed me, I want more. Start applying what we already have, amen? If we start applying what we already have, I went down to the, down in that country where I'm at, there's cowboy churches in the denomination, they're all over. And every time somebody comes up and talks to me, he says, what cowboy church are you affiliate? I said, I'm Southern Baptist. I go to New Life Church in Virginia, Louisa, Virginia. I said, don't even know about cowboy church. I've heard about it. But it's all over. There's churches, all you see them everywhere, planted, cowboy church. I said, We're just some cowboys sat around, started out about 8 or 10 of us. We started just sitting around. We didn't get a budget. We didn't go to a church. We just opened up the Word of God, started reading it together and praying and studying it. Amen. Got us a few chairs. We didn't get nothing else. The little bit of love offering we get, we give it to somebody in that community. Last month, we had 84 people come out. Amen. We had a little girl that was deaf. The insurance won't pay. She's got a special thing. They didn't suspect her to live more than 2 days. And she's 19 years old. Her hearing aid won't work, and they won't buy it. Won't cover it under their insurance. They got insurance. So the thing is $15,000. Lady said right off the parents shared her testimony in front of the cowboy church. And through that little love offering, because I don't get a dime of it. And the sailboat don't get a dime of the money. We just take a little cowboy hat off, pass it around there. We give that family 1,500 and some odd change we give to that family to start for her to help that little girl. Amen. You don't need to do so. We just need to spend more time sharing the gospel with people. And the one thing that Pastor Josh Turner always told me, he said, you take the gospel to people, whether it was through Celebrate Recovery or through a cowboy church, you take the gospel to people. If they get saved, they'll start finding a good church. Amen. They will come to find church. But we'll try to force people into church. If you get saved, you'll start coming to church. When I got saved, I started going to church. Amen. There was something inside of me that said, hey, I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday. Amen. Nobody told me. I had to go. I just started going. You know, I remember the second week I got home from rehab, second week I was home, it was a bad snowstorm. And the little church out there, my brother was an assistant pastor. He called me. He said, JR, he said, they're not having church today. I said, oh, really? I said, I'll go to church. He said, man, them drugs done messed your mind up. He said, they ain't having church today. He said, I said, well, I don't care. I'm going to church. He said, man, you're hard-headed. He said, you'd be the only one at church. I said, I don't care. I'm going to church. I got in the truck, and I went over to the little pastor's house, and we sat on the floor of his trailer, and he did his message that he was going to preach that day. He did it with me. Amen. I've been out in a foot of snow. When I went out to get high, there was nothing going to slow me down. I didn't come home till I got high. I didn't go to the first door and say, oh, hey, y'all got any dope? Y'all got any drugs? Nope. I'd go to the next door. No, I'd keep going all night till I found it. I've tried to do that same thing with Jesus. When I go out to get me some Jesus, I'm coming home till I spend time with Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that changes your life. Amen? So when you go after Jesus with the same excitement, the same enthusiasm as you did your hurts, habits, negatives, go after Jesus. Give him all you got. Amen. Give him the same 110% that we destroyed our lives with. Use that to change your life through the power of Jesus. Amen. Go after Jesus. Don't stand on the sidelines spinning your wheels. Go after him. Watch out, or you will devour each other. Verse 16. I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, if you're spending time with the Spirit, the one thing that I'm really working on in Cowboy Church and praying and trying to find a somebody to help me with it is to do a Bible study on Friday night. Because a lot of us get there on Friday. We have the sale on Saturday and Sunday. And then we do Cowboy Church on Sunday morning. But one thing that I'm becoming stagnant in my life, moving around and sharing other churches and things, is I need a small group. I need to sit in a class and be able to hold my hand up and say, Jay, I still got problems. I got prayers. Help me with this. Amen? We still need small groups. That's where we grow, by the way, is when a body of Christ, where people are thinking about you and praying for you. Amen? So grow that the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. So your flesh and your spirit don't want the same things, basically. And the spirit is if my Bible's so marked up here, I can only read it. It's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one and with each other, so that you are not to do what it wants. So you're basically to tell your body, hey, you know, and the more Jesus you put in, the more light you put in there, the more darkness gets pushed out. Amen. If you're having a sin problem, put more Jesus in you. Amen. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped way ahead there. Back up, I'm sorry. So walking by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another. So you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law has never changed nobody. Amen. More laws won't change you. It's all the changes got to come in here. Amen. You know, you can build laws and build walls on our country. You can do all that. That's all great things. Amen. It's just like speeding. If you're speeding down the road and you see a cop up ahead, you're going to tap on the brakes. Amen. You're going to slow down. That's going to slow you down for a minute. But as soon as you see that cop going in the mirror, what are you going to do? You're going to give it the gas again. You're going to go a little faster. Amen. So laws will never change. You got all changes. Always got to start inside of us. Amen. The Ten Commandments won't change your life. A relationship with Jesus will change your life. Amen. If you don't need to read the Ten Commandments no more, because they are carved on your heart. When Jesus came into my life, they carved them in my heart. Those things started falling out of my life, coveting other things and lustful thoughts and so many things, honoring my parents. So many of those things just came into do when Jesus came into my life. Amen. So law is on my heart now. Amen. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh, they're obvious. They're very obvious to see acts of the flesh. What are the acts of the flesh? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. A lot of these things we're going to read are sexual oriented. Idolatry, that's idolizing anything. Witchcraft, a lot of people read this list and they don't see drug addiction. They say, well, drugs ain't on there. Witchcraft, that's what drugs fall under witchcraft. I mean, any kind of sorcery, any of that stuff, drugs, that's where you find drugs at, if you break that word down. Hatred, discord. You know, when I took CR back over, the first thing I did was I told him, I said, look, I said, me and my boy, we come out here on Fridays periodically. I said, last two times I've come out here on Fridays, I said, I don't care. I said, there was 15, 18 people there. I said, but the Lord wasn't here. Amen. I said, I didn't feel his presence here. Amen. I wasn't saying nobody wasn't saved or anything like that. But you didn't feel, people were serving him like they were doing God a favor. You're not doing God a favor. When you put into the basket, when you mow that grass, when you're over here like Miss Deb telling people about the gospel, you're doing that because Jesus changed your life and you want to do that. Amen. It's a privilege and an honor to serve Jesus. Amen. So the first thing I did, I said, I'm going to cut this discord out of this thing quick. And I told him, I said, we're shutting the doors here. We're going to close this year. I'm going to shut the doors. And 28 people come out to keep that ministry going. Amen. A lot of people I hadn't seen in years. I'm like, well, how did I get that? I ain't seen this guy in years. But they wanted to keep that ministry. And they came in. And they talked. And I opened up the Word of God. And I shared from Samson's life. And Samson, powerful man of God. Right? But it says, you know, in his life there, the Spirit of God left him. He kept toying with sin, right? And then the Spirit of God left him. He didn't even know it. I said, you guys are still serving, but God's left. He ain't here right now. I had one lady get up and leave the meeting. One lady jumped up and said, hey, we ain't come here for a sermon. I said, I didn't even answer a question. I said, anybody got any good questions? Listen to them. Second meeting we had, I said, don't come back here no more. Unless you can give the Lord a year of your life. Don't come back unless you're going to be a cheerful giver. Don't come back, whatever you do to the Lord instead of to man. Because sometimes man ain't going to pat you back. The Lord will pat you back. Do whatever you do, do unto the Lord instead of the man. Came back, we had 12. And we finally kicked the ministry off, had 10 people to build on. But I'd rather have 10 people living for Jesus than have a whole room full of people. We started that ministry. It took off. Had 80 people come out on Fridays. And you know what I was? I was a big fireman. I was just putting out fires all the time, trying to fix people. Only Jesus can fix people's problems. I always push people back to the cross, back to Jesus. What can you do different? I don't want to hear about all their problems. You're before me. That other person's not before me. I don't want to hear what all they're doing. What are you going to do different? What are you going to change in your life? Amen. So we took it down. We took it down to the foundation of Jesus. I'm going to build on Jesus. Amen. By the way, numbers don't never tell you that Jesus is in the room, by the way. Amen. If you're a Christian, you've been in a place and you can feel the presence of Jesus Christ in the room. Amen. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, fabrications, and envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the likes. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty scary when you start looking at that. Now, when you think about that, a lot of people think that as, hey, if I do that over and over. No, it says if you practice it, amen. If you look at one of the translations, it says you practice it. That means you do it on a regular basis. You're always into that thing. There's no grieving of your spirit because we're all broken, right? We all make bad decisions, amen? When I look at this there, whether it's anger or jealousy or fits of rage, there's times that thank Jesus. In 13 years, if you knew me 13 years ago and know me now, you know I was like a fresh-bought Roman candle, but I'd go off in a heartbeat on somebody. I'd walk around with the wish factor. I just wish somebody would say something to me. I walked around like a cocked pistol just waiting to go off, amen? That's how short and infused I was. But in 13 years, I'm excited to say, if you know me from then, people see me now, and they're like, man, what's so different? And that always opens the door for me saying, Jesus Christ. Nothing I did was do this, put my hands up and surrender my life to Jesus. Amen? So he's talking about practicing. Do not practice these things in your life. Don't do these things on a regular basis. Don't justify these actions in your life. Bring these, whatever these are that you're dealing with, bring them to light. Just like that man did on the phone with me. He brought all that infection that's been destroying his life because he's afraid what people would think of him because he was a big auctioneer. I said, don't let that stuff control you. Amen. Find you some real friends. Get that infection out of your life. And he sat there for an hour just sharing some of the things that he was dealing with. Verse 22. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, are peace, are joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things, there is no law. Amen. I kind of was sharing last week, I had a lady come through our ministry and her name is Miss Charlotte. I shared that she got a 5-year chip from codependency last week. And when she first came through our doors, she was very shy. I couldn't get two words out of her. She was very shy. And over these years, she comes from a very broken home. She has really grown. And the other week there, one of her sons was living with her. And his wife and their two or three grandkids. I think they had two grandkids and one on the way. And they were just disrespecting her, right? But one thing she told me, she said, and this really blessed my heart, she said, being a Christian don't mean you're a doormat. Amen. That's a key thing. Remember that. Amen. A lot of times when we enable somebody, we will actually love that person to death. But when she made those boundaries, said, you guys got to leave my house. First thing, her son came in there and told her, I thought you were a Christian. And then the daughter-in-law came up there a little bit later and said, well, if we leave, you'll never see your grandkids again. It broke her heart. She's ready just to lower the standards in home just to have her grandkids, amen. I said, if you lowered the standards, you wouldn't help your kids, and you definitely wouldn't have helped your grandkids, amen. Amen. I said, you've done what's right. You've got to follow the word of God, even though our flesh a lot of times don't want to do it. We don't want to set up firm boundaries. We don't want to say no. We want to say yes, amen. We don't want to cause, but we will actually love people to death if we don't tell them no, amen. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the best way you can to get to help people. I said, you've done the best thing you can do, Miss Charlotte, it's the best thing you could do to help your son, to help your daughter-in-law, and to help those grandkids by setting up boundaries. Because they'll know, we're welcome back at your house, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You're going to respect me and my house. Amen. I will help you. Amen. You know, as I read this list of fruits of the Spirit, it blessed my heart that I thought about my brother. My brother came out last week, and somebody ran into him this week through town, and They told my wife, they said, you know, that guy's always smiling and he's always upbeat. And it's not because he don't go through trials and tribulations in his life. He goes through trials and tribulations just like each one of us do. But just shooting from the hip here, just by knowing him there, he quit living for this world. He's living for the next. Amen. And he knows he's one day closer to Jesus. And that blessed my heart. Just some random person ran into him somewhere in town and said, man, that guy's always upbeat. Amen. You know, and the main reason I'm standing here today, the main reason that I'm going to heaven is because of him. Amen. I've been in our church all my life there, and I've seen religion and seen how ugly religion was and things. And when you read through the Gospels, you see how hard Jesus was on the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these religious leaders. He was hard on them guys. You know, they're thinking this the law is going to change you. Jesus is the only thing that's going to change you. Amen. But he was the first person I seen. I'd been my uncles. Thank Jesus, my uncles took me to Juan and tried to take me to church. But they'd get in the truck and there were some bitter old men. And they were high in the church, wear big fancy suits. When they walked through the doors, that old frown, sour look, they'd start smiling. Everything was nice, and they were nice and pleasant. They'd get in the truck and there's some grumpy old men. Amen. So, you know, one thing about us, we're Christians. We're the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. Now, how many people are we going to draw to Jesus? When people don't come to Jesus, it's not because of Jesus, it's because of us. Amen? Think about that. But I remember my little brother, we were out cleaning. Before I got clean, sober, and saved, we're out cleaning manure. We're cleaning the stall by a 90-degree day. We're cleaning cow manure. We're cleaning. And I'm cleaning because I need some money to go get high, right? I need to go put something up my nose. I need to go get messed up. I'm looking over at him. He's just tearing me up. I said, he's just smiling away. He cleaned up. He got the biggest smile. I said, what in the world? That guy, they think I'm high. That guy's crazy right there. I kept looking. Finally, he just ate me up. I said, so mad. I said, why are you smiling, man? It's driving me crazy. Dripping. He said, I just thank Jesus I got the strength to clean this stall. That was a turning point in my life. Even though I didn't get saved that day, that always stuck in my mind. There's something different about him. He's got some of these traits. He's got these traits. Some of these traits are talking about love and kindness. There's something different about him. Amen. He ain't telling me I'm going to hell and everything I'm doing is wrong. There's something different about him. He prayed for me. He always invited me to church. But seeing that change in that man's life, seeing that excitement because he had the strength to clean some manure, that's only Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we shining our light for Jesus Christ? Amen. But the fruits of the Spirit, let me jump down, I'm going to do it again. 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus crucify the flesh with its passion and desire. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's a prayer I always have. You know, sometimes the Lord blesses me and he allows me to do a good message. The next time I get on stage, I felt myself getting out in front of him, and my stuttering comes back, my anxieties come back. When you start thinking you're prideful, when you start thinking you can do something on your own, my anxieties, all that stuff comes right back and just shocks me. I got to slow down with Jesus. Always keep in step with Jesus. Amen. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Don't get ahead of him, and don't get behind him. Stay right there beside him. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen. I heard a story this past week. It really touched my life. It was about a man that ran a discipleship home, and foster home, I mean. Him and his wife ran a foster home, and they had like 10 young boys that they've taken on. And the boy come in one day, and he said, you know, he's talking to him. He said, tell me about your family. Tell me what's going on. He said, you know, it was him. He's 12. And his little brother was 7. Then he said, my stepdad used to beat us. He beat my little brother. And he said, bad thing, I'd have to go get my little brother and hold my brother down while I beat him. And he said, how'd you do that? He said, after I caught him, he said, I'd lay on top of him. Amen. He said, let me see your back. And he lifted up his back, and from his shoulder blades to the bottom of his hip, he just had scar tissue and old bruises and scrap. You know, he loved his brother so much that he laid there, took that beating. That's true love, by the way, amen? When we love somebody, we were protecting him with all we got, and he loved his little brother so much that he tried to defend him and protect him, amen? So I just pray when we leave here today, some of these things prick our hearts. Amen. And I pray when we run in contact with somebody that they see Jesus' image. They don't see us. They start seeing Jesus. They wonder why we smile during difficult situations. We go through ups and downs. But remember, we're one day closer to Jesus. Amen. We've got to quit living for this world and start living for the next. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful day, Lord. Just thank you for the air in our lungs. Just thank you for the hands and feet. Just thank you for so many things you've given us that I know in my life I just take so much for granted. Thank you for the ability to come to your house. We could have been anywhere today. We could have went to the beach. We could have went fishing. But we chose to spend time with you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for being there for us through the good and the bad and the ugly times of life. We thank you for never giving up on us. We thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do. And Lord Jesus, I pray that if anyone here today has been fighting with their flesh, and their flesh is getting the best of them, I pray that today they just invite you into their lives. They ask you. They realize that they're a sinner, that they're going the wrong direction. And Lord, that they realize that you're the only way to heaven. You died on a rugged cross for each one of us. You rose on that third day, and you're alive and well today, still changing lives from the inside out. I pray that that person just invites you. They do the Romans 10:9. They invite you. They confess with their mouth and they believe it in their heart. I pray for that today for anyone. And Lord, I know so many of us in this room, stepping on my own toes right now, that so many times through life we get so distracted by the task and the things we've got to do through life that we forget to shine our lights for you. Lord, help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers, not just a country club for Christians. Help us to actually take this gospel to that world, to that lost and dying world through those doors. Give us the boldness and the strength, Lord, not just to blend in a crowd today, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we walk through our communities, our families, that people see something different with us. I pray for that, Lord. Help us to smile even when it's tough, Lord. Help us to set healthy boundaries in our life to protect ourselves and to shine your light, not to enable people to death, Lord. Help us to help people to you. Help us to stand on your word. And Lord, we just love you, Jesus. We thank you for Life Song Church. We thank you for Sam. We thank you for so many great people that come out to your house each and every Sunday. Just pray for us as we step back out into that mission field of life. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. And we give all God all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.